Thank you. You know, Betty is an inspiration to me ever since I met her. I've never saw a frown in her face, never. She always has this glow in her face, always with a smile. And when she talked to me, I could feel the joy in her heart. And I know that is the joy of the Lord in her heart. We used to talk about her garden, and we used to talk about her early morning walks. And Terry requested me to sing this song because this is her favorite song, In the Garden. Okay.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
Thank you, Elenita. My name is Gabriel Otero. I'm the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. And about 17 years ago, we have the privilege to receive many people in our congregation. They came from another congregation. They were well-trained, and in a wonderful way, they did a marvelous work in our church. The Malones, the Dostes, and with them came a babbling short lady, a real jewel, by the name Tarp. And I don't know what Tarp was, except that once in a while I see the car going with the electrical compound. And Betty was so special, a delight to visit, a delight to chat. Many times she shared with me, you know, when you get older, you have this pain and the other pain. And we listen together, and we're trying to figure out how to get out of trouble. As Elenita has said, she never thought anything bad about it. I got the best lecture about Morning Hill and San Martin and the history of this land from Betty. And she will show me through pictures over and over again. You know how elderly people are. They tell you all the time the same story because they forgot that they told you before. Now, I thank God that I grew up in the land of Argentina, under Italian and Arabic family, and I grew up with my grandparents. We all grew up in the same home. We don't have the luxury of America to have a home for each one. And so I'm very attached and very familiar to elderly people. They're just glued to me because I love them as I love my grandmother. And so I get attached to Betty. And so I want to thank the sons, the daughters, the granddaughters, the great-granddaughters, the family, and the friends from the city of San Martin and Morning Hill who have come here today to celebrate, not to mourn, but to celebrate the life of Betty Tarp. Yesterday was a very difficult time as we say goodbye in the cemetery. Each time that that happened, I had to go home. I live right here in Lake Anderson and take a walk alone because it's like losing part of your life when you lose a friend and you need to cry. Jesus, cry, said the Bible aloud. In John 11:37, when he lost his friend, Lazarus, he cried aloud, even though he knew he would resurrect him. He showed us the pain on the heart of humanity. And so yesterday we did that. We cry and we say goodbye. Today we celebrate. Today in this memorial service, we will enjoy ourselves to recall her memories. And I want to briefly recall in your heart what she believed. We have a lot of time to talk. And as a pastor always, I look into the hearts of people and ask questions to see what they said. And so I want to talk to you about what she believed. And I hope you too believe in the same way, to have the same hope. All right? So welcome to our church. This is a family affair. This is a feast. There is no distinction between a Baptist or Catholics. We are here to celebrate the life of Betty and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want you to feel very comfortable and welcome to our church. We're going to read a psalm very familiar to everybody, include the Arab people, because my grandmother used to read this to me. Psalm 23. Our vice chairman of the board will come and read. Brother Plica, who lives in Gilroy, will read Psalm 23. And if you want to, you can pick up a Bible or you can read it right out of the bulletin. And I'm going to ask you to stand, please, as we read God's word.
Thank you, Pastor. We will be reading, as Pastor said, the 23rd Psalm. It is printed in your bulletin if you wish to follow along as we read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessed is the word of God. Will you please be seated?
Thank you, Brother Plica. And I don't know if when you grow up, your parents sing hymns, do you? When my grandma became a Christian, Arabs play the guitar. And sometimes when you read the book, you have to get the guitar sound to get the sounds clear. They are so close to each other that you can get confused. But with the tune of the guitar, you clarify the sound. And she will sing. I was 6, 7 years old. I understand nothing of what she did. But the Lord knew that what she did was putting in my heart the desire for the great hymns of God written here in the classic hymn books. And so when I met with Betty, I will say to her, what is your favorite hymn today? And I asked the congregation here to read the hymn book. It's good. Even if you cannot sing like myself, you read the hymn book. And if nobody sees you, but then you can sing, all right? And enjoy yourself. These are written with blood. The people who wrote these hymns, they have a true experience in their life. And that's what they wrote. So we're going to sing 3 of the hymns, first and last stanza. They are right there on the pew. You can pick up. I give you the page number. The first one will be, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 354. And I invite you all to sing together this wonderful song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And for those who are not familiar to the hymn books, very easy. You just follow the first line, and then the first line, and then the first line. And I told you the last line, then you follow the last line and the last line. I know in churches don't explain this, but I like to explain to people. When I was studying, I taught in grammar in kindergarten. And when you teach kindergarten in first grade, you really have to be creative. How do they know number one? How do they know what number two is? My wife said, do you think the church is in a kindergarten class? It is. If you never saw a hymn, you will be confused. So better we all enjoy it together. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yesterday at a breakfast in Gilroy. We usually have a breakfast on Tuesday with a lot of you friends. And I was in Gilroy with another doctor and some accountants and people that I need to talk to. And somebody handed to me a paper about Betty Tarp. And so it's so well written that I want Jean Tarp to read it to you.
For those of you that haven't read it, it's pretty long, and they've made it bigger so I could read it. My sister wrote this, and I'm sure she would have liked to have made it longer, but I don't think the paper would have taken it. So, Bettie Jean Wilson Tarp, loving mom, grandma, great-grandma, and friend, began eternity with her Lord on Friday, October 19, 2007. Born to Ed and Nellie Wilson on Monday, April 5, 1926, Betty's first home was a Tilton ranch in Morgan Hill, where her father worked as a foreman. Moving to San Martin when she was 6 years old, Betty lived on the 3,200-acre Ramelli cattle ranch. She attended San Martin Elementary School and would sometimes take her lamb, Pudgy, to school. Growing up, Betty spent endless hours riding the hills on her horse Pondo, checking on springs, fence lines, and cattle. Though her mom, Nellie, was an excellent cook and baker and spent many hours in the kitchen preparing meals for her family and the hired hands, Betty always preferred to be outside with her dad. In high school, she was always involved in sports, loved competing, and earned a varsity sweater in her senior year. Betty loved to read and spend many hours enjoying books about animals and people living on ranches. She used to dream about living in Wyoming and marrying a cowboy who had lots of horses. I didn't even know that. After graduating from Live Oak High School in 1943, Betty moved to Burlingame, where she met and fell in love with Walter Tarp. Walt was stationed at Moffett Field and was able to get a 3-day pass, so he picked Betty up and they drove to Carmel, where they were married on Friday, March 10th, 1944, in the home of a pastor whose name they found in the phone book. After a few months and World War II going on, it's hard to say Walt, Dad was sent overseas. Mom moved back with her parents on the ranch she loved and worked and spent her free time taking her girlfriends to Santa Cruz in her sneezy yellow Oldsmobile convertible. She should have saved it for me. Mom filled her life with her husband and children and loved going camping, fishing, and deer hunting with them. She started a lunch program, as many San Martiners know out here, at San Martin Elementary, where she had attended school. And when the school was unified, she was the manager for over 18 years. After that, she became superintendent of food services for the Morgan Hill Unified School District for 12 years until her retirement at age of 62. At the age of 41, Mom became a Christian while attending a crusade in San Jose on April 20th, 1967. From that time on, she began reading the Bible. In 1996, she wrote, "My Bible is a part of my life. It influences me on a daily basis through instruction, wisdom, and guidance. I am never alone. Jesus is always with me. He is not only my Savior, but He is also my friend." In her years after retirement, she volunteered part-time at St. Louis Hospital in Morgan Hill and served as a counselor at the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. She loved to garden and spend time with her family and friends. Even though the disease of Alzheimer's, Betty's heart of love and compassion, her sweet, selfless spirit and smile remained. She was a gracious, genuine woman who lived her life for Jesus and her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and friends were truly blessed by her. Mom survived by my sister, Terry Tosti, her husband, Pete, myself, my wife, Karen, grandchildren, Mike Tosti and his wife, Gail, Stephanie Tosti, Eric Tarp and his wife, Wendy, Prandy Montarbo, and Danielle Tarp, and her great-grandchildren, Devin, Drew, River, Larry, Madison, Derek, Devin, Ryan, Morgan, and the newest member, Kylie. Thank you.
He did very well. I thought that he was going to. He did very well. Let's give a hand to him, all right? I want you here on Sunday because I have a job for you. There's another hymn familiar to all of us, whether you are a believer or not, Amazing Grace. Everybody in America have heard that. And so turn your hymn book, the number 236. And I think in honor of John Newton, we're going to sing all the stanzas of these, a short hymn. It was a sailor from England who wrote the book. He sold slaves to the Dominican Republic and then to India. And in one of his trips, he almost died and found God in his heart through the Lord Jesus. And so he wrote this famous and wonderful book, a wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. How Great Thou Art, number 37 in your hymn book. I'd like to open few moments for some of you maybe have something to say. Betty's have touched your life in such a way that you have a word of thankfulness. If you don't want to do it here, as we go to the reception on the Morden Hill House, as you enter, I was instructed that on the right, there is a room there, and there is a little book that you can write something about her, if you please. But if someone wants to come here, or right there, standing where you are, we have microphones flying all over the place, because we do broadcasting, and so we need to have the microphone so we can pick up your voice. So if you don't, some people are afraid of the pulpit, even myself, because when I preach over there. So I tell you, will you do it? Somebody will say, what, one or two or three people will say, yes, I remember Betty in this way. And you will be a blessing to the family. If you are a member of the family, you will really put joy in the heart of them. Who will be the first? Like to do that, please.
I'm not exactly afraid of this, but anyway, I feel that, as many of you do, that Betty was our best friend. I was privileged to know her from about age six on. We used to ride our bikes to San Martin Elementary together, and she was a tease even then. I lived on Church Avenue near New Avenue, and she lived in the Murphy House on East San Martin Avenue, and I used to leave her off at Foothill, and I would cross over to where I live. But she, just before we got to Foothill Avenue, she would take my lunch pail and put it in hers, so I had to go all the way around on New Avenue to get to my house, which was okay, except that my mother knew how many minutes it took for me to ride my bike home. And I had to ride especially fast, and it was very hilly, so it was... but I had lots of fun playing in the old Murphy house. And I don't know, I just got so many good ideas about things we did. Even I was hit by a car this year. And, oh, gosh, I'm having a back spasm. But I just wanted to tell. Yeah, I guess I'm okay. It'll pass, I guess. She and I did so many things together. When I moved over to where she lived for so long, we walked the park every morning, in and out, in and out. We had so much fun. And when I started the flower project downtown, she was right there with me pulling all the weeds. We had such a good time together. And she accompanied me back to Ann Arbor, where I'd raised my children. And so all of my kids loved her, as well as anyone who ever knew her, just fell in love with her right away. So my children know that she had passed away, and they wanted the family to know how much she meant to them. And I named my fifth daughter after Betty. So she especially wanted Terry and Jim to know how much she meant. Thanks.
Is anyone else? Again, you don't have to come here. You can say it from there. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Colleen. I didn't really get to know Betty until after Jim and Terry grew up. And the one thing I remember is the first time I was at Betty's house was the picture of Jim and Terry on her wall in the kitchen, where she was so proud of her kids. And I thought, geez, what a great mom. And the other thing, which is right here inside your announcement, is this last picture of Betty laughing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, what can I say? And I said, that's exactly what I want to say. It's just look at that picture, and that's Betty. Thank you.
I would like you to
turn your hymn books to number 37. Number 37 in your hymn books, How Great Thou Art, and it's talking about God and the expressions of God and in awe or admiration of who God really is. All the ushers and the control for the air conditioning, move it to 70, some of them over there. All right, because we get a lot of people. Right there, right, left, down. You know, these computer things. Before you just turn it around, now you have to know, you know how it is. 37.
I see the stars.
I want to share with you four things that Betty believed with simplicity and at the same time with a very profound conviction. You know, people who are simple in their behavior, they have profound convictions and determination. And that's Betty Tharp. And I want to share very briefly, so you don't have to think how long this pastor is going to preach. But I want you to grasp one word there and one word over there, because I'm going to share the scripture, the Holy Bible for you. What she believed about the Bible. I want to share with you what she believed about God. And I want to tell you which God she believed. And what she believed about herself. And what she believes about life. And I hope when you live here, not only you get to know the inward spiritual meaning of Betty Tharp, but you can confront yourself and ask yourself, what do I believe? That will be a great question for yourself. So let me start. First, what Betty believed about the Bible. There is a text in the scripture, in the Holy Scripture, in the New Testament, that say it all. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. I read it and I make a point for you. The scripture said this. All scripture, writing, rhema, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The original says is the breath of God. And is good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, and do good works. What did she believe? The scripture said all scripture is the breath of God. She believed that this book that I hold in my hand, the Holy Bible, is written by God. That's what she believed. Written by God. God used men and used a great period of time to write. In an amazing way, there is no contradiction in this book from one page to the next one. Even though they are 745 years in the making. It is an amazing thing. And she believed, she came to the conviction by the mercy of God that this book, the Bible, is the Word of God. And not the writings of some Jewish people or the writings of some Americans, like some people told me, who want to convince the world about Judaism. It's nothing to do like that. If you go to Arabia today or if you listen to Radio Ali Balaba, you will hear in the clear Arab that the Americans have created the Bible to dominate the world. Nothing like that. It's very more deep than that. The Americans are not too smart to do that. You know, God is smart. God is the one who, from the beginning to the end, he explained the thing. So Betty believed this book is nothing more and nothing less than the Word of God. What does she believe about God? This is very important and comes handy when you know the original language. In the book of Isaiah, here's a prophet that God called him to preach for a good period of time, from the beginning to the end, and no one believed. Can you believe that? What a job, you know, that you go and preach and preach, and there was nobody in the auditorium, but he keep on doing that. He was a man who was a lawyer in the house of the king. This is what he wrote in Isaiah 44 and verse 6. An answer to the question, what Betty believed about God. Thus said Jehovah. You heard that word? In Hebrew, pronounced in this way, Yahweh, which means I am. All right? Thus said Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh, the host. I am the first, I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. So, what does she believe? She believed that the God of the Bible, Jehovah, is the only God, period. That, somebody, I was sharing these in the coffee shop, was sharing these in many other places, because I like to, I've been 29 years in radio, in a talk show, and sharing with people, oh, you are discriminating. Yes, I'm discriminating. There is no choice when you come to God. God is no American. You can vote him in and out. God is God. And the God of the Bible, his name is Jehovah. Jehovah is no Allah, is no the Hindu's God, is Jehovah. And if you miss Jehovah, you miss the God of the Bible. Do you believe that? Well, what did Betty believe about herself? That's very important. Some people don't know this. What does she believe about herself? She shared with me two things. She said to me, who created her? And she shared with me her accountability. All right? Here it is. Who created Betty Tarp? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man. The word is Adam, which means anthropos, which means mankind. All right? This is for those who are homosexuals and they think the Hebrew call man women and women man. They don't really don't know the language. And so they're all mixed up in their head. But here's what it is. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. She believed that God created her. You believe that? I believe God created me. Imperfect as I am, God created me. All right? It's just fantastic. There are not many people that knows that God created them. You know, those who play with homosexuals and all these, I have a remedy for them. I have a medicine for them in my office. And here it is. It's a big mirror. And I said, get yourself nude. You know, when you go to the doctor, get yourself nude. Now take a look. Are you a man or a woman? Just tell me. Just tell me. Who are you? You know, that solved the problem. God created you in this way. And when God created, he is not confused. She believed that God created. She loved the plans that God created. What does she believe about accountability? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, way in chapter 9, verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die. There are many doctors in medicine that do not believe that. They believe you die, you are gone. But the Bible said they believe you die, but they don't know what happened after. They said, unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You need to appear before the high tribunal of God. And if you do not have the right lawyer, you are gone into an eternity in hell. Now, I don't want to mention hell. It looks bad, but it's exactly what it is. I have to warn you that if you do not have the right lawyer, when you are at the presence of God in that day of judgment, then you're going to hell. And who's the right lawyer? In 1 John chapter 2, 1 said, we have an advocate, which is the word lawyer, a paracleto, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have these and you may have the other. They do not qualify. You need a lawyer with a license in heaven. And the only lawyer who have a license in heaven is the Lord Jesus. And she believed that. What does she believe about life? In John 11, Jesus, the Bible tells us the story of a man who died. His name was Lazarus. He was a personal friend of Jesus. And he died. And Jesus is away from his home. And this man has two sisters. And the two sisters really were under stress, you will call in America, because Jesus was not there. They knew that Jesus has some kind of miracle that will prevent the death of their brother. And the Bible said that after Jesus confront these two sisters, say, oh, if you were here, Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. And the verse doesn't stop there. Jesus went one step forward and he said to the sisters, believest thou this? Amazing, no? It's not just personal. It's an invitation. You believe this? That was the text that brought me to Christ when I was a soccer player in South America. Believest thou this? And you know what Martha said? Martha said, whoa, you know we believe. And I said to myself, being a macho Italian, playing soccer, and women know this and I don't know it. So I start reading the Bible that my grandma gave me. And I found Jesus, my Lord, through the Bible, through every page of the Bible. So here is the $4 million question that I close every sermon in this church. The $4 million question. What do you believe? You maybe believe nothing. A truck driver bigger than me told me, I believe in my work. I don't say anything. He was bigger. But I tell you, what do you believe? What do you believe? Does the Bible make sense to you? You go to church, you are faithful, you attend, you sing, you do things. But does the Bible make sense to you? Everybody in my time, we remember my mother was Italian. And so talk about Mussolini. Many of you who are old know that about that time. Mussolini, Franco, Hitler. And my mother hated Hitler because of what he has done with the world. But they forgot years and years and years, 3,000 years before, God had destroyed 6 million Jews. They were slaves in Egypt. They had no way out. And God provided, the Bible says, a savior, Moses. Train in the science of man. And God trained him to be humble for 40 years in the desert. To know the roads. And lead Israel out. And these bunch of people who were saved by a miracle of God, they rejected God. And so in the book of Hebrews, the Bible revealed what happened to them. So we see that they could not enter into the kingdom of God because of unbelief. And my friend, that's a tremendous sentence. You do not enter in the kingdom of God because you're a member of this church, a Protestant church, or a Catholic church, or a Muslim church, or a Hindu church. You enter in the kingdom of God because you believe in the God Jehovah through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You can say, I don't care. Well, that's your choice. And I love you still. Because there is time, as long as you have life, to believe. May God bless you. And may the belief of Betty Tarp, really, may her belief impact your life. Just do one thing. If something you want to do for Betty Tarp, if you don't have a Bible, pick up the one in the pew and take it. No charge. Later on, we'll write a letter for donation. But it's okay. Pick up a Bible. Go home. And read it. My wife said, don't be comics. Well, I like to smile. So our congregation gave more when they smiled. You know what I mean? I'm serious. This is not complicated. Folks, this is not, I want you to be a Baptist. I want you to go to heaven. That's it. And I want you to know the Lord Jesus. Whether you come to this church or not is incidental to me. What this church is about is that you may know Jesus. Jehovah. Remember that. There is in San Martin, some of you are from San Martin, a big temple to Allah is going to be built. That is not our God. Jehovah is our God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who redeemed us. May God really deeply bless you with that knowledge. And now the Lawrence family will sing my favorite song that I have written in my will that I want my wife to sing when I die. Because I think I'm going to die first. All right? Face to Face is a precious song.
With my Lord on high. Oh. Celebrated the life of Betty Tarr. We have received the testimony of people of her love, compassion, smiling, happy life. And we have received the testimony that at a given time in life, she understood that there is a God and that there is a Savior and that her Bible guide her into eternal life. We thank you for her lesson and we pray that each one of us may apply it to our own heart. Thank you for the family who are here. Thank you for the company, for our neighbors who are here in church. We welcome them, and Father, I pray for blessings upon each one of their life. In Jesus, our Lord, I pray. Amen. You may be the Father.